We are still in our school of prayer, and what I want to share with us briefly today is titled God-Centered Praying. What did I call it?
God-Centered Praying.
Let me quickly get into the reason why I'm sharing that briefly, okay? Let me just get into the reason immediately. The reason is because, you know, when I was inspired to start doing this school of prayer, I didn't even realize what I was going to be tackling. I just wanted to start talking about prayer. But, you know, the more I think about it, the more I realize, let me say, the more I understand the reason why the Lord wanted us to start learning how to pray. Sometimes you appear as if, are you saying you're the only one that knows what you are saying? The truth is that you may not agree with me. What you are saying as a Christian may not be popular. Does not mean you are wrong. Being right does not mean you are in agreement with the majority. Do you understand my point? Being right means that you are in agreement with the Word of God. And so sometimes, you know, when the Bible says that the Word of God is profitable for correction, we need to correct ourselves. Why am I saying this? A lot of times I hear prayers. I just say it again today. I don't know if you are listening to this in 2020, maybe we'll have corrected ourselves and I will be wrong at that time. But as of today, 2014, looking back over the last few years, I think that most of the prayers that we pray in Christianity is unfortunate. It is not good. It does not work. Do you understand my point? It doesn't work, all right? And it's just unfortunate. That's why I'm talking about God-centered prayer. Just tune TV, all right, or go to church on Sunday and check the number of times the word the devil is used in prayer. Okay? I know you are rebuking him, but just try and check the number of times the word devil is used. Then get a concordance, all right? These days, we all use electronic concordance, all right, in our Bibles. Just go to your Bible software and type the word devil into the Old Testament. You will not see it one time, not once. It will not even pop up, okay? If you see, the word Satan will show up like 3 or 4 times. It is the Old Testament. I've not tried it, but I've tried devil, Old Testament, and it didn't show up at all. Satan, it shows up a few times, all right? Like in Genesis, in Job, you will see it. So Job constitutes more than half of the times you will see the name Satan in the Bible. Whether you type in adversary or Satan, but referring to that entity, the serpent that came into the garden, the reference to him either as serpent or adversary or as Satan is so few. The total will just come to maybe a dozen or so. Now, if you get into the New Testament, you will not see it used once when it comes to the matter of prayer. You won't see it. You won't see it. You will not see the church there focus on the devil. They hardly ever, you know, bothered with him. Let me say it again. Most of what we do is exalting the devil, not actually rebuking him. I need to emphasize that. When I'm talking about God-centered praying, that's what I want to emphasize. Your life is between you and God. Satan has no... Listen, what he tries to do, you know, I went to the New Testament and I saw the reference to the word devil, Satan, and all of that. Usually you will see when Peter, or was it James, that was talking about you, I think both of them, you will see that they emphasized that Satan is going around trying to tempt you. So you need to resist his temptation. So when he says resist the devil, what he was talking about is that you will see pride traps people. Now, very important, pride is a trap. It's a trap that Satan uses all the time. Okay? And for that reason, James now says that be careful. Let's open to it quickly. The book of James chapter 4. And then again, we'll look at 1 Peter chapter 5. My emphasis is that Christians have paid too much attention to the devil. Let's start quickly from James chapter 4. I'll start from verse 1, but I will quickly rush down to where I'm going, which is verse 7. So I just want to get it in context so we do not miss the point. From verse 1, it says, what is the source of quarrels and conflicts among you? Is not the source your pleasures that wage war in your members? It says, for that reason, you lost, you are envious, you can't obtain, therefore you resort to fighting and quarreling. Verse 3 says, you ask. He said, you know, at the end of verse 2, it says, you do not have because you do not ask. In verse 3, it says, you ask and you do not receive because your motives are wrong. I'm paraphrasing as well as to save time. And that says in verse 4, you adulteresses. Being an adulteress now was referring to the matter of loving the world rather than loving Christ alone. He said, do you not know that friendship with the world is hostility toward God? So there, being an adulteress was talking about friendship with the world. Therefore, whoever wishes to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. Do you not? Do you think that the scripture speaks to no purpose? He jealously desires the spirit which he has made to dwell in us. He said, but he gives a greater grace. Therefore, it says, now notice this, God is supposed to be proud, but gives grace to the humble. Submit therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Now, it now goes down at the end of verse 10. It says, humble yourselves in the presence of the Lord, and he will exalt you. Now, I wanted to bring out the issue of resisting the devil there. If you see what he was talking about pride. God is opposed to the proud. He gives grace to the humble. Submit to God. Submission to God, he says, is resisting the devil, and the devil will flee from you. If you look at it in the context, what is the devil doing? He's drawing people towards the love of the world. And resisting the devil is by submitting to God. He told them simply at the end of, he said, verse 10, humble yourselves. Now, quickly, before I finish the comment in here, go to that portion of Peter, all right? 1 Peter chapter 5. I need to just get us to understand this, to emphasize the fact that Christians are often occupied wrongly. It's what I call an unholy preoccupation. Please bear these things we read from James just now in mind. The same thing Peter was saying, using different words. He says here, let me just quickly jump down to verse 5. You younger men, likewise, be subject to your elders, and all of you, clothe yourselves with humility toward one another. For God is opposed to the proud, but gives grace to the humble. The same thing that James was quoting. He said, therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you at the proper time. Was that not the same thing James was telling us just now? He said, casting all your anxiety on him, because he cares for you. The same thing James was saying. They were fighting because of their needs. Peter said, don't worry yourselves, cast all your anxiety upon him, because he cares for you. He says, be of sober spirit. Be on the alert. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. But resist him, firm in your faith, knowing that the same experiences of suffering are being accomplished by your brethren who are in the world. He said, after you have suffered for a little while, the God of all grace who called you to his eternal glory in Christ will himself perfect, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. All right? Now, why did I read this? To let you understand something. That you see, Paul and James and Peter here were emphasizing on the fact that Christians should humble themselves. That's what they were talking about. You know, sometimes a Christian is going through adversity. Now, listen to this one. What I'm saying is very, very correct. It's going through adversity. It's going through trouble. Now, you know, these are the things you hear a lot of times. Somebody will tell you that your mate, you know, I keep on saying that thing, that your mate at your age, you know, when they start saying that, then they start comparing themselves with other people. That is what the Bible calls friendship with the world. It's just the way it is. And actually, that's what the Bible now also calls pride. You know, so we start saying that my mate, they have done this. My mate, a lot of people, you know, you've heard the story I tell about all the time when Nigerians want to run abroad. Nothing wrong with going abroad. I keep on saying that, all right? If the missionaries did not run to Nigeria, the gospel wouldn't have reached here. It's the motive I am talking about. Somebody will tell you that, you know, by this age, you should have your own house, you should be driving your own car, you should have this, you should have that, you should have that. Once you start talking like that, you are having what the Bible calls friendship with the world, and you are becoming what he calls an adulteress. All right? Adulteress here is not a woman. It's just a Christian that has friendship with the world. Now, this is the point. What he was saying is that at each point in life, I like the way Bishop Oyedepo said it, He said, life is in seasons, men are in sizes. You must understand the season you are in life at any point in time. What's the devil trying to do? This is what I'm going to. What's the devil trying to do? He's trying to tempt you away and bring a picture before you to tell you this is what you could have. And that's where you resist the devil. People often try to resist the devil in Satan. You know, you want to take my money. I will fight you. You will leave my money alone. You know, you see, try and read the scriptures and see the mind with which the apostles taught us. You understand? That was not their issue. Christians, you know, the prayer is always on the people who are afflicting me. You will never find that in the Bible. People praying, Christians praying against those who are, it's a lie. Lie, 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 lie. It's a lie. Nobody has the power to afflict a Christian. No witch, nothing, not the devil. The only thing the devil can do is to try and entice you. You know, if you read this book, Triumphant Church, by Kenneth E. Hagin, Triumphant Church, go and read the book. Go and read the Bible book. Look for it. Read it. I mean, if you think everything I teach, you know, is because Pastor Bank has this anointing. Revelation goes to drop. Yes, Revelation drops, amen. There are times I'm teaching here, but I will get home. My wife will say to me, wow, I'm hearing that for the first time. I'll say, it's not only you, it's two of us. You understand? As we're hearing it for the first time, so was I hearing it for the first time. And I'm the one preaching it. Do you understand? That happens. However, this point I'm making, most of the thing I know, I read. That's why you will never hear me preach for 1 hour. I won't drop two or three names. It's not possible. Most of the things I know, I read. Christians are total, these days, the level of ignorance is frightening. It's frightening. It is frightening. And there is no other way to cure the ignorance than to be disciplined to learn. You have to spend your time and your money, buy a book. Go somewhere where they are preaching. Do you understand? Buy a tape. Borrow a tape. Exchange a tape. Collect books. These days, just go on the online. Everything is there free. You need the discipline to read it. That just by the way. Listen, if you read, you will not be confused. So that book, Triumphant Church, Kenneth Hagin talked about, because he was a prophetic teacher, all right? He was a prophet and a teacher. He used to get understanding from visions and revelations, and the Lord will appear to him and teach him things. And those things happen in the Bible. That's how Paul understood all the things that he taught us, all right? Of course, he interacted with Peter and James and John after a long time, but basically everything he taught were things that the Lord appeared to him afterwards and taught him. And this is a man in modern times that had that experience. And one of the things that the Lord taught him was how demons get into the lives of Christians. Now, let's not split hairs now over using certain words. But what I want to bring out is a particular story he told in there on how a woman was taken over by evil spirits. And she was a good, he did not say good. I'm the one putting the word good now. She was a good Christian at the beginning. I just want to use that to emphasize a point. But she was a Christian married to a pastor. And she was a good musician. That one, he said it, could sing very well. And she was a very beautiful woman. In fact, according to her, to him in the book, and many of his books, he told the story, she was the kind of person that when she entered the place, you turned to look. She was very strikingly beautiful, all right? And she was a pastor's wife and a music minister. So when she grabs a microphone like this, you know, her voice, you know, will resound. And this was what happened to her. This, I'm telling the story, looking at this story from James, all right, and from Peter. What happened to her? Satan will come to her and say to her, and he was watching it like a film. The Lord was allowing the thing play before him. All right, the devil will come, sit on her shoulder and begin to talk to her. What was he telling her? You know, you're a very beautiful woman. And you're a very talented woman. Were it not for this church thing you are doing, you could have made a lot of money. Listen, all those girls that used to be in church, all those men that will go in church, after they don't sing for church, go and sing in the world. That's what happened. A lot of them, that's what happened. Because, you see, in your life, money must never dictate what you do. Once that telling you that if you did it here, you'll make more money, just know you are beginning to listen to Satan. Did you hear what I said? Satan is beginning to talk to you. Once the primary thing is, You will make more money. Just know Satan is now, he has come to visit. This Satan was telling this woman, that little devil, sit on her ears, on her shoulder, and whisper to her ears, "You're a very beautiful woman." If he was in the world now, people like you, now I'm adding many words to explain what he said properly, all right? People like you will be on television, waiting. Then imagine she will sit down and say, "Okay, what is this Rihanna girl singing that you can't sing?" Satan will help the woman open the website. How much money Jay-Z made last year? $60 million. Show you what Beyonce made last year. What are they singing that you can't sing? Now, go and read the book. I can't tell all the stories, all right? Initially, the woman understood, according to the narration there, that it was the devil. So she rebuked the devil. And listen, rebuke the devil today, the guy does not go away. He goes to and what? Fro. Mm-hmm. Wait for the fro. When you rebuke him today, don't think you have conquered like that. It's an irritation. What did I call him? An irritation. You know, if somebody, it's like ants in your house. You know, you fumigate. You think you have cured all the ants. Wait. Zoom it back. The only thing I can tell you convincingly, all right, that I'm convinced about, is that the more you rebuke and stand in faith, the longer the intervals between his going and coming, and the weaker the assault each time he comes back. The Lord Jesus was not tempted only 3 times. So that story you read is a summary. In fact, one of the men I read this commentary, his name is Bollinger. He has this Bible called the Companion Bible. Bollinger will tell you that there are 2 separate accounts in the Gospels, that they are not the same. And that was why in one encounter, the Lord, in the second temptation, was jumped down. And that was a third in another encounter. In both of them, turn the stones to bread was number one. Bollinger said the Bible is always accurate. They don't conflict. If they look like they are different, they are 2 different things. And if you know how to interpret scriptures, you read through it, you will see that many times they keep coming back. When they come trying to make him king, that was still the same temptation that was still showing up. So this woman, I was telling the story, she will go, the Satan will go, the that little demon will go and come back. Then after a while, she began to brood. And the devil, according to him, left the shoulder and moved into her head. It now became an obsession. She had no other thoughts now than, in the world, I could have been famous. Maybe she comes for a program now. They just say, sit at the back. See? If Beyonce were to come here, would they tell her to sit at the back? Is she singing more than me? Let's make a long story short. After a while, she divorced her husband, began to sing in clubs, became a worldly musician. Now, I'm not going to tell the story beyond that point. If you want to read the rest of it, go and get the book, The Triumphant Church. All right? The whole story is in there. And it's something that really happened. You know, there are parables. This one really happened. The Lord just showed it to him by revelation and used it to teach him lessons. Some of the people he saw, he knew personally. After, of course, by the time she divorced her husband, or married, joined with this man today, just became another Samaritan woman. Just one husband today, another one tomorrow. And then one day came to church and just shouted, you know, all kinds of nonsense. Make a long story short, the devil now fully took charge of her life. Why did I tell the story about the woman and the demon and satanic oppression and possession and disturbances? It's to let you see what Satan was doing. Satan was not there to steal her money. There was no witch from one village telling her she will not prosper. Listen, let me tell you again. If you're a Christian here, say amen.
Amen.
If you're an unbeliever and you're going to hellfire, say amen. All right. So, there is no unbeliever here. So, if you are here and you said amen, hear me. I don't want to hear any explanation from your spirit there. Do you understand? Just hear me and believe me. Because, you know why you should believe me? I'm telling the truth. What I'm saying is correct. It is the truth. The whole truth and nothing but the truth. So hear me. Don't explain. No. No witch can afflict you.
Amen.
Your problem is not caused by one person somewhere who is raising the altar. You know, that is one joke in modern day Christianity. All the altars that have been raised against me, keep on raising it now. Now you won't kill cow. I destroyed them. What's my problem? Did you ever hear the children of Israel destroy the altars of Balaam? Why are you behaving like you don't have work? Some of this Christianity these days is joblessness. You know, Aliko Dangote can't do some of our Christianity. The man is busy. You know, if you have work to do, there's some prayers you can pray. All this joblessness. The point is let me, you know, I was making some statements. Don't worry. No witch anyway. If they let them raise 10,000 altars, it cannot affect your destiny. Say amen. Now, like you believe what I'm saying.
Amen.
Thank you. Listen. Whether you pray about them or not is not what I'm talking about. Now, here another one. It's a waste of your time to be paying attention to the altars raised against you. It is a waste of what?
Time.
Where are your examples in the Bible? Most of the people who are praying against altars, they are feeding with Satan. That is, the devil is their friend. They say, oh boy, Lucy, you don't come? Yeah, sit down there. Okay. They will serve the food of Lucifer. Lucifer take one spoon, they take one spoon, they will chop it. What do I mean? Pride. We have seen. Do you understand my point? Pride and friendship with this world are spiritual adultery. That is their issue. They are, you know, what are they doing? Look, listen, all my friends are building houses. It is now my time. And that's what Satan said. Yes, it's your time. You don't have enough money. It's not your fault. It's the economy. It's the government. So if you take their money and steal it, what is the thing? After all, they are the ones that caused it. Yes, it is true. It justifies his corruption. Then he goes around and says, all the altars raised up against me. Satan says, yes, fight them. Fight the altars. It is the altars. It's not you. It's those altars. And of course, oh, I like modern day pastors. You will now sow a seed to fight the altar. What is the size of the cow that you are going to use to sacrifice? I heard a man say it once. He said, when they sacrifice cow, I sacrifice Mercedes Benz. Which one is more expensive? That I have a greater sacrifice on the altar. Oh my God, confusion in Christianity. You put a Mercedes Benz on an altar, you are out of your mind. Have you ever seen that? He said that he entered the Holy of Holies with petrol. Have you ever seen it? And he brought that engine out and diesel and began to sprinkle the holy place. No, you know, that's what we do. That's what we do. And I say, you're raising an altar. Altar. It is a current, you know, I've seen, did that distraction started about 2 years ago. 7 altars, 8 altars. Some say altars, they are servicing at 12 minutes. I've heard all kinds of things. As your enemies are servicing their altars, you too will be servicing your altar. Your enemies are giving you work to do. Let me say it to you again. In Christ Jesus, you have been set free.
Amen.
Whether you know about altars or not, they can't affect you. Pastor Bank, you know there are altars. What concerns me? There are mountains. What concerns me? There are valleys. There is erosion spot. Does that one affect me? There are all kinds of things in this world. Let me say one more thing to you. You know, say I told you, anybody enters this door, you don't enter. See this door that leads to the place where I'm preaching. You have a choice of two. Either you enter or you don't enter. Once you enter, you have entered. And that entering that you don't enter, you know when we say in pidgin English, say you don't enter. Yes, I'm going to, when you finish listening to me, you had better believe me or you're in trouble. Yes, because I'm going to say some things to help you clear your brain, your soul, and give you the liberty that Jesus gave you already. When I say you have entered, you know, I told you last time on Saturday that the word of God doesn't leave you the same. Bishop Oyedepo said, no prophecy from God leaves you the same. Either bringing you up or taking you down. So once some words come forth, it's not a matter of I don't agree. It's a matter of obedience or disobedience. And disobedience has a just recompense. So I want to give you one. Before I give it to you, let me give you the foundation so you have faith to believe it and obey it. And this is the foundation. We're laying it again, the same thing. One, in Christ Jesus, you have been set free. Did I hear an amen?
Amen.
The blood of Jesus has been shed for your sake. Did I hear an amen?
Amen.
That blood washed off every handwriting that was written against you. That blood makes it impossible for the devil to hold you.
Amen.
It makes it impossible. It washed away your sins. It washed away your ancestral curses. And that blood, this is interesting about it. That blood was not only shed before the foundation of this world, it is constantly being presented before the judgment seat of God. That blood of Jesus that was shed on the cross of Calvary till now is effective. The Bible says he ever lives, all right, to make intercession for all those who will draw near to God through him. Listen, it is by that blood that you have confidence. It is that by that blood you have righteousness. It's by that blood that you have been set free and made clean so much that you can enter before the throne of grace and obtain mercy and grace to help in the time of need. It is by that blood that you have been totally set free. That blood is effective till today. Did I hear an amen?
Amen.
It is working on you till today. Did I hear an amen?
Amen.
For that reason, if you sacrifice any nonsense sacrifice on any altar to fight your enemies, you are sacrificing to the devil. That's what I wanted to say. So when you leave here, if anybody tells you, come and bring money on an altar to fight your enemies, just know that that money you are giving to Satan. I pray for you that your bones will not break, but you will suffer for it. You know, Godayo, I have prayed for you now that you will not die, but you will wound. Listen, the only offering you can offer now, we've discussed it before. Please go and listen to our series, Christ, the Final Truth, and the Cross of Christ. The only offering you can offer now, there are two. One, your whole life must be lived for Christ. That is a living sacrifice. The second one is sacrifice of praise, thanksgiving. So just wake up in the morning and say, Lord, I thank you. So just wake up in the morning and say, Lord, I thank you. You are going to bed at night to say, Lord, I worship you. Thank you for your freedom. Do you understand my point? To every day of your life, just be uttering thank you, giving him praise. Say, Lord, you are the most high. He said, why are you running up and down? Is it because of Ebola? Say, no, I'm running to go and hear the word of God. Say, Ebola is coming. Say, I can't run because of Ebola. When Ebola hears what I'm, you know, Ebola will be running. When you see where you are standing, you take the other direction. The Bible says, looking for whom he may, you know, who's available, who will agree. Say, I have refused to agree. What is the sacrifice? The only sacrifice you can offer now is what I was talking about. You wake up in the morning, you lift up the name of God. Lord, I thank you. You are the one that has brought me to another day. Thank you for freedom. Thank you for victory. Listen to me. All things that I'm telling you, that is what I do. I have never, ever, before the gospel became popular, that's a gospel, because before the bad news became popular, I already knew the scriptures. This bad news of raise altar and be feeding your altar. Some people actually raise physical altar. You haven't seen it? Christians have gone mad. They've really some of them actually have physical altar. You go to their house, they have a particular place. They can put a Gideon's Bible there. It's idolatry. You know, go? It's idolatry. I told you, I have stopped being nice. So now I will say things the way they are. If you offer any offering now, because your enemies are offering something, don't let a man who has been hired to come and raise money collect your money. Such a man, that's why it starts come with all kinds of doctrines. Like my friend called me the other day from Port Harcourt. He sent me a message that the pastor of their church said that some people have gone to offer sacrifice on your behalf and the gods are now chasing you about, asking for the balance. This wasn't a Pentecostal church. That they went to go and pledge cow and goat. And that, listen to this, listen to the lie, that the sacrifice of Jesus only redeemed you from the curse of the law. Every other curse you have to walk by yourself to redeem yourself from it. So right now, you will take the cost of the sacrifice. And that is goat or cow, you will bring it to the altar. I'm warning you from today. If you respond to any of that nonsense, you have responded to Satan. That your offering is being offered to foreign gods, and you will not go without blame. Why? Because I warned you. Why do you let people use fear to drive you up and down? What I'm telling you, I've said it under God. I don't lie to you. What am I lying about? I asked my wife. She and I married for 15 years. She's never heard me pray. All the altars raised up against us. All the devils are after us. The only devil that's after me is the one that's trying to tempt me. That is the one I have to be careful of. That's the one that tells me that, listen, all your mates have attained this rank. What are you still doing? That's the one that tells you that, listen, look, if you do this like this, your ministry will grow faster. And you know that's not the right way. That's the one that tells you, don't take nonsense for your wife. Oh. That's the Satan, that's the devil I need to be careful of. The ones that tell me that without a title, I will not be respected. These are things I've heard. One brother told me that if you don't start a church, they won't respect you. I say, I'm not starting this ministry for respect. All of you know why I started it, so that I can disseminate the truth of God. That's why we keep on hanging it on the internet, printing books, doing what we can to push the truth out. We started for respect. That's the Satan I should be afraid of. As for the villagers who don't want me to prosper, have they prospered themselves? Like God dared them. Declare a thing and make it come to pass. Let's know you have power. That is why if anybody comes to me and says that, I saw in a vision that this is the person who's afflicting you. Look, this is Nigeria, it's not America. I will not be charged for assault. I will slap you. One man came and met our good friend, Pastor Okemute. Said that he had a dream. Okemute is a redeemed pastor. And God revealed to him that only two people are going to heaven in redeem. So Okemute said, no problem. Since I'm one, the rest of you can go and compete for the second. You, the dreamer, and anybody else. Don't you, my friend? Look, he said only two people are going to heaven in redeem. The whole of redeem. No problem. I'm not quarreling with you. But I just know one position is my own. You, prophet, and everybody else, fight for the second position. Come on. I've seen too many people. Christians are more afraid of the devil than anything else. Wake up in the morning and give Satan all kinds of names, unscriptural names. In Kubus, Sukubus, Ekudus, Ikudus, Ingadus, Budugis, Gilaga, all kinds of spirits. They don't exist. 99% don't exist. Go and read your Bible. Demons don't have proper names. They only have names of the affliction they cause. Read your scriptures. Only angels have names. Michael. Gabriel. As we see, spirit is always spirit of infirmity, lying spirit, deaf and dumb spirit. Not incubus and succubus. Open your Bible. All these demons, you hear their names in the Bible. They are demons. They are of this. Do you see the problem they are causing? So come and tell me to learn the names of evil spirits. Is it Asmundi? And Asmundius. I don't believe a word of it. Not one word. Say, woman, I was in a cult. You see, you have left the cult. Better leave those things behind. Don't bring it to Christianity. So when the Ogboni, we used to wake up at 2 a.m. between 2 and 4. That's how you used to afflict people. Were you able to afflict me between 2 and 4? Were you able? If at that time you can't afflict me because I'm not subject to temptation at that time. Most of the time I'm sleeping. Listen, I've been married for 15 years. The only temptation I can fall for, I paid for it. Ask my wife. Most of the time she's sleeping beside me there. So what is the problem? What are you talking about? 2 to 4 a.m., you can't tempt me. I'm not in a bar.
You understand my point?
I'm at home. Okay, temptation, bring it. I like it. That's rubbish. The demons, they wake up between 2 and 4 a.m. And Christians won't sleep again. They want to be modulating the activity of evils, of the demons of darkness. Like I told you, because you are not going to work tomorrow morning. If you are going to work in the morning, you go sleep now. This night vigil on Wednesday night, it's obvious those who go there, they don't have work on Thursday. Ha, God. You know, I told you my message today is titled God-centered praying. I'm dragging us away from devil-centered praying. Remember I told you one young woman came to me once and said I should pray for her. I went to preach. That my friend were talking about it. I was telling you about it earlier. I invited him for a program in one campus in Anambra State. On a campus, when I finished, I was just sitting under the tree, waiting for them to get some things together before we start leaving. Yinka and I, pray for me, sir. I said, what is the problem? She said, I had a dream. What is the dream? That my mother gave me egg to eat. I said, what now happened? Is it the cholesterol that's your problem? I didn't say it like that there, no. I'm just telling you that now. I said, what now happened? Said that in the dream, I swallowed the egg. It hasn't gone down. Since that time, it's been in my chest. I looked at her. I said, will you get away from here now? I said, listen, okay, you know your problem? She said, what? You watch too many films. Yes, it's all the home videos that are causing confusion in your soul. My G now has given her daughter egg to eat inside the home video. The daughter has now turned to winch. So, that is why instead of you to sleep, you won't sleep. You'll be dreaming dreams. I said, in case you do not know, I told her, I said, you remember they introduced me inside that hall when I was preaching just now. I'm also a medical doctor. She said yes. I said, let me tell you this. I learned it when I was in school. I gave her the psychiatric name for it. If you want to know, I will tell you too. It's called globus hystericus. It means you are afraid. So it forms a lump in your chest. Nobody gave you anything to eat. Nobody. Say, won't I pray? I said, if you don't get away from here, you'll get another egg on your back. Just move. No. No, literally, I drove her away. I said, I beg, go away. Just go. Go, go. No, I literally almost physically pushed her away. Go away from here, my friend. It's expensive prayer. I should be wasting it on mundane things. Why don't you come to me and say, sir, as you were preaching, that word was good. Pray for me that I will have understanding. I will remove jacket for you now. Alayanga, hold that jacket. Kneel down. In the name of Jesus, spirit of revelation. The anointing to understand. From the throne of God, I will call all kinds of names to make you have understanding. But I should pray that the egg your mother gave you to eat should leave your chest. Unless you are not a believer, in which case what you need is repentance from sin. That's what you need. What you need is repentance from sin. Forsake your sins, give your life to Christ, and then you are free. If you and your mother are doing witchcraft together and you don't want to repent, don't come to me. I'm not a chief priest of witchcraft people. I'm a senior priest in Christianity. Jesus Christ is our chief priest, amen? That's a matter of fact. People go up and down chasing devils that are not chasing them. This is a painful part. They fall for the devil that's chasing them all the time. Every day. You see men carry their girlfriends to go for prayer. The girl will wait inside the car. They will enter the prophet's place to go and pray. He's married though. He's married. The girl is not his wife. Yet he's going for prayer. The girl will wait inside the car. And
Everybody that is after you, Holy Ghost fire, Holy Ghost, the man will shout, amen, amen, amen. And you will seal this prayer with an offering. That is why the man opened the shop. You don't know. It's a shop. And if there's a prayer, you seal it with an offering. You go back and meet the witch that's waiting for you inside the car. You continue in your iniquity and Satan says, thank you. And then someday, one day he beheads you. They say, your enemies have got you. You were your own enemy. One of our sisters the other day, she has a prophetic gift. She said she went somewhere. One woman was doing, she was doing like me, like night vigil. Rich woman, you know, big mama, rich. Imported one man of God from Lagos. And that one told her to stand there, you know. You know, money is a terrible thing, you know. People start when they see money, start prophesying. It shall be well. The man began to prophesy. It shall be well. It shall be well. All your enemies. As he was shouting, all the enemies, enemies. This our sister said that at that time she was just grieved. And she just shouted, no! As if like, I can't remember the thing she said, like, judgment is coming. She has a prophetic gift. So that man of God was surprised. What is it? He wanted her thrown out. I said that the host knew her and said, no, just relax, you know. So she said she was so grieved that, no. Later on, she booked an appointment to see the woman. That man prophesied, pour oil on the ground, stayed there, blessed her, it will not her, in the name of Jesus. All the people that said you will not give it back. She prayed, broke this one. My friend, that our sister said she was just looking at her. She felt so terrible. After all, she requested that this madam, we need to see. That something is out of order. The woman dodged that. They ended up not seeing. Anyway, a few days later, her son came from school, took a gun, shot her, killed her, carried her body, put in the boot of a car, buried inside the bush. That was what the true prophet was telling her about. That, listen, you have to depart from iniquity. It is not your enemy. Although she was one of those kind of people that, of course, either it's political money, whatever kind of money, into all kinds of urukuruku. They now want to cover by importing a prophet who you can pay. What was it that Daniel told Nebuchadnezzar when God revealed judgment coming to Nebuchadnezzar? Daniel said, break off from doing iniquity. That was what Daniel told Nebuchadnezzar. Break off from doing iniquity. The only thing that puts Christians in the hands of Satan is when they fall for his temptation. That's why we read those ones. He goes around looking for how to tempt them. Come and love the world. What's your product? At your age, your friends have houses. At your age, your friends are kind to their children all over the world. What are you talking about? Like Kenneth Hagin told us in that book, this same devil whispered to this woman, anointed woman, wife of a minister. She was in ministry with her husband, but she knew how to sing powerfully and she was beautiful. And they said, Satan said to her, can you see, if you use this your talent properly, you'll be making money. And then she listened to the devil. Listen, that is where you fight Satan. Don't anybody shoot an arrow at you. Shoot all the arrows you want. What does it concern me? You don't know that I'm seated in heavenly places, far above principalities and powers, in Christ Jesus. Shoot your arrow. Let us see where it will reach. It's very, very annoying when you hear. Sometimes, you know, when you go, you hear some pastor preach, you want to consider pastor, come here. Do you believe in Christ? When I hear some so-called men of God talk, sometimes I'm wondering, is that any stories? They can't quote scriptures. It's stories. There was one girl. The mother said she will never marry. The day before the marriage, something happened. Then one boy, the auntie said, no, this money you are giving me, only me will be collecting it. I said, this boy will never marry. And then one day, he wanted to marry. The girl just died. And then there was one, and tell the story. So tonight, you are going to say that all the witches that said that I will not make progress, you don't be looking at that man of God, says your head correct. You are telling me the stories of unbelievers. When they are in the kingdom of darkness, they can kill themselves the way they like.
If witch kill Ogwanje, we think of
no, what's your problem? Witch kills Ogwanje, two of them should be killing. Don't say, listen, you have to pray. I saw some Ogwanjes last week as they were dying. Witches were killing them. Now you will pray that no witch will get me. I said, okay, I'll come. Do I look at Ogwanje to you? These same people who call themselves Christians, tell them, say, listen, we are doing a 5-day seminar on victory in Christ Jesus and how to live holiness, live in holiness and righteousness. 5 days. Oh, Father in heaven. It happened to my friend, that was mentioned to you earlier. He did nationwide, you know, big crusade. The place was jam-packed. Miracle. At the end, they said, man, this is good. Let's establish people. I did a 1-week program. It was, at least it was wise. He didn't use stadium or big place. He just went to a hall. 1-week program. He invited himself, me, and about 2 other men who know how to teach. When he reached the hall, he could not believe his eyes. If the hall was 1/10 full, grace was plenty that day. I didn't know. He called me and said, Pastor Banky, the thing is discouraging. I said, yeah, discouraging. Don't worry. This is how human beings are. When the soul goes forth to sow, how many do you think gets a 100-fold return? This is how men are separated from the boys. I told you, don't be discouraged, my friend. Don't be discouraged. This is how it is. That is, he was supported. Even those that claim they gave their life to Christ, come, let us teach you the word of God. He didn't see them. But let him say, anointed to destroy witches. Hey! If you see space in that hall, you came early. Let him just go. That next is okay. I'm bringing one special man of God, anointing to destroy all curses, ancestral curses, all the incubu spirits that are blocking the progress of the family. Anointing to break village yokes. I said, this is a special edition of our annual witch killing conference. The place will be full. God, listen, let me say it to you. In Christ Jesus, you have been delivered.
Amen.
Whether you know about those altars or not is irrelevant. What did I say?
It's irrelevant.
Please say it one more time.
It's irrelevant.
I always like to say, the people of Israel, as long as they were not following the Moabites, they were not subject to the accusations and the incantations of Balaam. Balaam with his own mouth said, nothing works against these people. And the Bible said they were just camped like flocks of goats, you know. They were just camped. They were not praying. They were not praying. Somebody says that your enemies are not sleeping. Why are you sleeping? I said, because he's a sinner and I'm not a sinner. The Bible says there is no rest for the wicked, says the Lord. How can a wicked person not be resting, telling me that he's not resting, I should not rest? For what? Don't compare me with the enemy that's not sleeping. He said, the people who are against you right now, they are there cooking up their own sacrifices. Oh, Christians are sleeping. They are supposed to sleep. The Bible says you labor to enter into his rest. Because anyone who has entered his rest has ceased from his own works. And like my favorite scripture, one of them, in peace will I lay me down and sleep. For the Lord alone makes me dwell in safety. All the agitation in the midst of storm, it was unbelieving disciples. Do you know that? When the storm was going like this, Jesus, nobody could wake him up. He was asleep. They had to go and tap him. Master, waiting. Are you not? It does not matter to you that we're about to perish. So you're about to perish? What is perishing you? It's this storm. He came out. Which kind of nonsense storm is that? Stop that nonsense. The storm says, sorry, sir. It was while you were sleeping. We just said, let's try your voice. Now turn to them and say, oh, you of little faith. That is all this agitation in the midst of the other wahala is because of lack of faith. If they had faith like him, they would have said, this storm is plenty. Guys, let's go and sleep. No one will wake up. We'll continue paddling. I hope you are getting my point. So as for your enemies that don't want to sleep, please wish them well. Let them stay awake in the neighborhood. Watch out for criminals. If they don't want to sleep.
I don't know. God. I said God-centered praying. In fact, this my message is actually more like against Satan-centered praying. I read a story many years ago in Full Gospel Businessman's Voice. That is a small magazine, Full Gospel. They have this magazine they call Voice. A man in South Africa, he was an occultist. That's a worldly occultist, not our own real occultist, though. You know, we are the real cult, amen?
Amen.
If you're in the cult of Christ, say amen.
Amen.
If you drink blood and eat flesh, say amen.
Amen.
If the blood you drink is the blood of Jesus, say amen.
Amen.
Uh-huh. So you have life in you, amen?
Amen.
All right, that's the hand. But it was one of those worldly cults, Ogboni kind of, Ogbanje kind of, witchcraft kind of thing, you know? Those small boys that don't know anything on the earth. And for them, he said, he used to walk. Amongst them, like I said, when witch kills Ogbanje, it's the will of God. You know, that's my point. Uh-huh. To continue. But along the, of course, they did something to him to run him mental. They put a cock and eggs. So there's a way they do it. So when he saw it, he ran away from home. They wanted to kill him. Then his surgeon, he got in contact with the gospel of Christ. He gave his life to Christ. And he was fortified with the word of God. Then one day he returned back home. When he got back home, knowing God wanted to prove his power in his life, God made sure he didn't have money. He was broke. So one morning he was there in the house, saying, "My mom must chop today. Father, where will your son see food today?" Only for him to go out and see that those his rivals of that time, they heard he was back. They came with another sacrifice this time and put at his door cock and eggs. And he looked up to heaven. "Father, I thank you." The man took the cock and slaughtered it. Cooked it in the name of the Lord. There are different kinds of cooking. This one was cooking in the name of Jesus. He ate it and he was there telling the story, thanking God for how he supplied, supernaturally supplied. I've told this story also many times. One of our brothers, when we were in school, he entered the room. We were in the same fellowship, he entered the room and he saw food on the floor. Rice in a cooler, banana, you know, stuff like that, chicken. Students, there are two groups of hungry people on the earth. One of them, refugees, two, students. Every student is hungry. You can imagine a student hostel, food like that was lying fallow. So he asked them, "What happened? Why is nobody making use of these things?" Then I told him a story about how one girl came from town and they think he had put forget-me-not. You know what they call forget-me-not? Love potion. You know that kind of thing? That she has put something inside for the other guy. And they are all afraid. So he said, "All right, it's good. Maybe there is something inside." The man took a chair, sat down in front of the food, and laid hands on the food. And you know this is how Christians pray for food. It's like Jesus Christ. You know when I see praying, you know, cast out anything that will not, you have time. Jesus just gave thanks. So the guy said, "Father, I thank you for this food. You are so good. Amen." Begin chop. Carry banana and work. The guy was trying to eat fast. Man, the other boy said, "Man, this boy is not dying." That was when they gathered courage and joined him. He said, "Wait, put forget me not." He said, "Don't worry, I won't forget you. I'll pray for you. I will pray for you. You will give your life to Christ." I mean, that's a Christian's attitude. Nobody will be rebuking all the seven altars that were raised up to cook this food. The only thing that will annoy me if you raise altars to cook that food is that the sacrifice on the altar, if you don't put inside the food, now we'll go quarrel. But the goat you use for the altars, put it inside. The fowl you use on the altar, put it inside. The chick, everything, put it inside. Then I know you really use altars to prepare food for me. The Lord is good. That's a Christian's attitude. If you are going to wake up at night, you are going to use the time to give God thanks and ask Him for understanding. Your life has been moving around in circles. Yes, it's time to wake up at night and say, "Lord, what must I do to be saved? What is the thing that I need to do? How do I change my mind? What am I supposed to execute in this season?" Some people, they have been kept on a particular spot because of fear. He has this job. I mustn't lose this one. And God says, listen, you are holding it with two hands. Where will I put the blessing? Release it. Drop it. Open both hands. Move out. Move on with your life. Fear will not let people prosper. They think it's witches. How can a witch not let you prosper? Unless you're a sinner. And you will know you're a sinner. It's not inside your heart. Maybe I'm a sinner inside my heart. You will know if you're a sinner. Your way is sin. You know, you are doing things you can't say in public. You know what I'm saying? You've not truly given your life to Christ. You fear money than you fear God. You know. Why are we pretending? You only come to church looking for solution. Church is not a place of solution. Church is a place of transformation. You understand what I'm saying? You don't come to church to come and receive from God. You come to church to come and give everything to God and take his life and go away. Not go there to go and collect breakthrough. Go there to go and collect this solution. No! A lot of people who go to church, they've not given their life to Christ at all. They haven't. They just heard that if I go to that church, I will prosper. If I go to that church, I will have children. So they are going to a place looking for prayers. If you are a sinner, give your life to Christ. That is deliverance. Until you do that, then hey, witches can be slicing you for breakfast though. Just because, how is that guy? The food. Where is he? Still in chains. Cut his tongue. I want to eat tongue with my bread. That's you. They are cutting you to pieces, witches. Then you wake up in the morning. See what happened? In the physical life, your tongue will swear.
Oh, I can't talk. I can't do everything.
Yes, witches have eaten your tongue. Yes, it happens. People which will take their liver and eat it, use it to cook fried rice. Why? They are sinners. So if you're a sinner, they can eat you up. It usually takes about 5 years. At the end of 5 years, you're dead. Because the witches have eaten you in pieces. But if you're a Christian, they can't. They don't even want to eat you. They know. You see, it's you. It's Christians that don't know. The witches know. They don't want. They don't want to eat. He said, come and eat. No, thank you. They don't want to eat. So don't worry about it. Witches are not your problem if you're a Christian. But for those who have not given their life to Christ, please give your life to Jesus. Start living for him. Then you are totally immune to all the wahalas of witches chasing me. For those of you who are Christians, I ban you from today. I'm praying against witches. Any witch you know by name, pray that he will believe. And if you don't know any by, do you know any witch by name? Most people who are praying against witches don't know any of the witches. You know that. So you have no business praying about witches. We saw the scriptures, go and check it. The only prayer you should pray about the devil is to God. Say, Lord, give me understanding. Help me that I do not fall for his temptation. That's all. How do I resist the devil? Steadfast in my faith. If Satan says, you can have fame if you join the people of the world. Say, don't worry, I was not born for fame. I was born to fulfill the will of God for my life. That is called resisting the devil. If he says that, without this, you won't get money. Don't argue that, I can get money. That is true, you can get money, but that's an unnecessary argument. What was the answer Jesus gave? Man shall not live by money alone. Say, I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than live in tents of unrighteousness. Tell the devil like that. By this time, your mate say, don't you follow me to Bible study? Pastor Frank, he said, I don't have mates. He said, I was called alone, that my race was set before me. That is a fight. We need to fight the devil. He said, this year, any devil that wants to take my money, this is my own. Take it if you can. I like one story. Let me end with it. This man, John G. Lake, told this story in one of his books. He said once he was not at home and his son was afflicted by typhoid fever. The boy was really sick. So he came back home. When they called him, he laid a hand on the boy, cursed the fever. The fever ran away as soon as he arrived. After praying, the fever ran away. Then he went back to what he was doing. When this devil realized that he had gone, it came back. After the same boy again, he said he came back home. He said, but this time around, unlike the first time, he didn't feel fire surging through him so as to, you know, attack the matter. I have other interpretations attached to that, but that's not my issue now. He said, what did he now do? He just sat down there beside the boy, just kept the young man company, and said to the devil, kill him if you can. Quick, do it. So that's all he said. Devil, you think you can kill him? Go ahead if you can. That was the only prayer he prayed. He just said, Satan, you want to kill? Go ahead. You think you can kill him? I dare you. And just sat down there, I was just reading his book, reading his Bible, and the boy began to get well. He continued to get well until he became perfectly well. Then he went back to his business. No, that attitude is good. He just said, you want to kill somebody? No, I told you before that I heard somebody explain it, that when the Bible said Jesus rebuked the wind, it was not just peace be still. It was an attitude. Look at the wind. Who's there making noise? Oye neku, you know? Who is talking? You know that kind of thing. Who is the person talking? Come on, be quiet. Wind said, we are sorry, sir. And went quiet. It's an attitude. It's a victor's attitude. It's an attitude of a child of God. It's the attitude of the person who the Spirit of Christ is dwelling inside. Our prayer is not about the devil. Our prayers are between us and our God. Let me just add this onto it. What do? We magnify the name of God at all times. Over every situation, we magnify his name. I say to you, Christians have magnified the devil too much. Everything that happens, they start devil, devil, devil. No. God is my rock, my salvation, my strength, my buckler, my shield. He said, I call upon the name of the Lord, so I am saved from my enemies. When I declare the name of God over my problems, not by shouting, Satan, I will get you. No. Listen, go and check it. When Jesus addressed the devil, he was out of irritation. Get behind me with this, your stupid temptations. Go and check it. It was temptation matter. Bow down and worship me. And Jesus got angry. Get behind me, Satan. It was temptation he was angry about. Wasn't that? Yeah, you are taking my money. You are saying I will not progress. I will show you that I'm going to progress. Don't worry, I will progress. In Jesus' name, all the devils that say I won't progress, Holy Ghost, fire, open your head. It's anger and fear combined. Jesus did not do that. He said, what about my promotion? I'll tell you what to do. Simply look at that situation and say, not from the east, nor from the west, nor from the south comes exaltation. But God is judge. You see that name? So over your life, over your promotion in the office, over your ministry, over your career, over your academics, say he lifts up, he brings down one and lifts up another. God is judge. Your lecturer is not judge. Your regional manager is not judge. Your senior pastor is not judge. The governor of your state is not judge. God is judge. What does it mean to be judge? It means he's the one that is lifting you up. Please go and read my tract, Daniel. If they ask you, what is my name? My full name is Daniel. My first name now is my English. Well, what do you call it, English or middle or whatever? The other name I bear, apart from Bankole that shot into Banky, is Daniel. That name, I picked it as an adult. That was not the name my father gave me when I was a child. I picked that name myself. I wrote the story in that tract, Daniel. Go and read it. Read that tract. That's why we write. That's why I write all those things, so that when you read them, it transforms your inside, your attitude towards life. Please, forget that nonsense. They said some people this year said I will not prosper. It's a lie. What did I say? Am I saying they're not saying what they are saying? I'm saying, no, they can say what they want to say. It's not of my business. It's not of my business. My prosperity is not in their hands. So how can somebody whose prosperity is not in their hands tell me I can't prosper? Did he smoke something? Why will he be telling me I can't prosper and I will believe him? He's like, I'm going on the road. I work for Federal Ministry of Health, all right? I'm going on the road. And one man from Enugu State Ministry of Environment said, we won't pay you this month. Did you hear what I said? You know the first thing I would say, then listen. Are you talking to me? You know that's the first thing I would say. How can I be working for Federal Ministry of Health? I'm going on the road. No matter how highly placed the man is in the Ministry of Environment in Enugu, he cannot tell me, we will not pay you this month. I'll just look at him. You know, I won't get angry. Can I get angry?
That's my response. Are you talking to me? He said, yes, you. Me? Yes, we won't pay you this month. I said, who is we? We, the Enugu State Ministry of Environment. So I said, okay, don't pay now. You know, that's what I was saying. No, think about it. Will I go and rebuke him? I just look at him and say, don't pay now. I'm serious. Eh, don't pay. Oh, God, please, please. I have work to do. Say, you won't pay me. That's what you said. Eh? Don't pay. If the man likes, let him shut down the whole of that ministry account. Could it affect me? Listen, your life is not in the hands of those people. No human being has your promotion in his hands. No human being has your promotion in her hands. Even if it appears that he or she is your direct boss where you work, the truth is that they don't hold it. Pilate looked physically like the one in charge of the life of Jesus Christ. I mean, he was the one in charge of that whole environment. He said to Jesus, do you know I have the power to free you or to condemn you? And Jesus looked at him and said, listen, let me summarize. The power is not with you. It's with my God. Therefore, don't fear anybody. Don't even give a special offering against your boss. It's unnecessary. It's called worshiping other gods. Don't worry about it. Just do one thing. Lift up the name of God over the situation. Make sure your own hands are clean. Make sure your conscience is clear. It is not that they gave you 6 queries for coming late and they were legitimate queries. You went for all-night prayer on Wednesday, so you slept late. And you've done it for 6 weeks, so they've given you 6 queries. If it's like that, you should not be promoted. What do you think? If you were you, would you promote you? I mean, if you were them, they wouldn't promote you. So what I'm going to say is that as a Christian, make sure that you are not being punished for being a doer of evil. That's what Peter said. Once you satisfy that one, forget the rest. And you say, but what if I've done bad in the past? Eh, repent. Do you know the meaning of the word repent? Repent. If you offended people in the office, I mean, this is not like, they just don't like me. If you really offended, walk up to them and say you are sorry. If you are negligent with your work, go there. Don't make excuses. It's because it's not opened the door on time. After I was here, some people make too many excuses. Just go there and say, I sinned. I am no longer worthy to be called thy son. You know what? That's it. You've done that. You're not doing it because you're trying to end promotion. You are doing it because it's the right thing to do. Just do that. And concerning your promotion, wake up in the morning and read that Psalm 70. What now? Anyway. Yes, okay. 75. Not from the east, not the west, not from the south come exaltation. But God is judge. He brings down one and he lifts up another. Just declare it, God is my judge. In the name of Jesus, God is my judge. That's you are calling upon the name of the Lord. And in due season, he will give you your reward. I hope you've gotten my point. I hope you've gotten my point. Come, let's rise to our feet. Let's close the meeting. Like I said, it's God-centered praying. That's what we are doing. We are not centering our prayers on the devil. Because we walk above the devil, like we declare all the time. We are above him. We are above him. So let's begin to declare again. Say, Lord, we thank you. Just begin to thank God in your own words. Say, Lord, I thank you because my life is in your hands. Just declare it, Lord. Say, Lord, I thank you because my life is in your hands. Say, Lord, I thank you because my life is in your hands. Say, Lord, I thank you because my life is in your hands. Declare like you believe it. Say, I've been set free by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. All things have passed away out of my life. I am not subject to the power of the devil. Therefore, I don't worry about him. My life is in your hands, oh my God. No matter what comes my way, my life is in your hands. I call upon your name at all times, and I am saved from my enemies. I don't focus on my enemies. I just call upon the name of the Lord. Declare like you believe it, that I have been set free in Christ Jesus, that righteousness is my portion. Let's just declare, but just say after me, say, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. I am not afraid of economic downturn. God is the one blessing me, not the environment.
even though the young lions suffer hunger, because I am seeking the Lord, I will not lack anything good. Say, I follow after righteousness, and all things are added to me. Say, the Lord is with me at all times. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. Say it, I am not worried. I am not disturbed. I am not a friend of this world. Declare this like you believe it. I am walking in the will of God for my life. I am following the seasons of God for my life. I rebuke the spirit of pride. And I humble myself before my God. Therefore, the devil is fleeing away from me. Say, the Lord restores my soul. He guides me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. My steps are ordered by the Lord. Now listen, say this, say, I know what to do. In the name of Jesus. I am not confused. In the name of Jesus Christ. I am not confused. Now you need to declare it, not say, but I'm confused. No, declare it. Because when you do that, then you will have understanding, you will have direction. Sometimes you have to make a decision. You don't know whether to go to the left or go to the right. Just declare it. Say, the Lord is leading me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. Therefore, I am not confused. Do you understand that? Anytime you have to make a decision, just declare that. And you will discover that indeed, the wisdom of God will come to you. Declare this. Say, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil. For the Lord is with me. His rod and his staff, they comfort me. And I like this line. We read it, Psalm 23 is one we're expounding. We finished it in a moment and then we're out of here. Now say this. He prepares a table before me, in the presence of my enemies. The way we teach these days in Christianity is as if God has to kill the enemies before he can prepare a table. Say it again. He prepares a table before me, in the presence of my enemies. He has anointed my head with oil. I have divine ability. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. See, my life is not an accident. I was born for a purpose. And I can do all things. I can fulfill the purpose of God for my life. Say, he has anointed my head with oil. And my cup overflows. Say, surely, goodness, mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Say it, I am sustained with grain, and I am sustained with new wine, in the name of Jesus Christ. Let's share the grace in fellowship. Because of the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, surely we have passed out of death, and we have passed into life. We have passed out of darkness into the light of Christ. We have passed out from under the curse into the blessing. All things have passed away in our lives. We are now filled with the Spirit of Christ. We live above sin and walk above the devil because we are seated high above in Christ. This is our season of fruitfulness in the name of Jesus Christ. One more time. This is my season of fruitfulness in the name of Jesus Christ. Give it to your neighbor. This is your season of fruitfulness in the name of Jesus Christ. To your other neighbor, this is your season of fruitfulness in the name of Jesus. All right, cheer up, brethren.